Cara Augustenborg is the chair of Friends of the Earth in Ireland and a leading activist in the Climate Reality Project run by former US Vice President Al Gore. I caught her up there when she got back from the UN Climate Conference in Paris, where she followed the negotiations and campaigned actively on the streets. I asked her if it had all been worth it.
Irene, it was amazing to be at COP21. It was my first experience at a UN conference of parties, and I really got a sense of all the work that's involved in creating global climate action, not only of the negotiators, but also of the people outside COP who are pushing those negotiators to be more ambitious and working hard in their own way. So it was an amazing experience that I was definitely glad to be part of.
Now, there have been mixed reactions to the actual agreement, from euphoria because we have got a new world climate agreement to disappointment that the text is soft insofar as it has no binding targets and no sanctions if emissions are not reduced. What's your take on the agreement?
Watching the agreement evolve was definitely an emotional roller coaster. I mean, the language became increasingly more vague in order to get compromise and in order to get to 200 countries to get involved, then that's what has to happen. That's part of the negotiation. So it's frustrating, but on the other side, it's very significant to get 200 countries to agree to act on climate. So there's highs and lows in this agreement.
Now, Kumi Naidoo from Greenpeace told us earlier in the programme that we can't leave it to the politicians. An agreement like this alone is not enough anyway. It's up to the people. Presumably you would agree with that view.
I would definitely agree that this agreement that doesn't go far enough to actually solve climate change or protect us from the dangerous impacts of climate change. But what I see it as is a tool for people to push their governments to do more. I mean, all these countries have signed on to it, so now they simply have to act. But they won't act unless we as the people hold them accountable to the agreement.
Now, you have a young daughter. Do you feel optimistic that that is going to happen and that she will have a future in a relatively healthy climate after this agreement?
It could still go either way with this agreement. There's a risk that the timescales aren't fast enough to address the issue, and there's a risk that countries might not deliver on their commitments. But this is the first step toward becoming fossil-free, toward decarbonizing our society. And for that reason, I'm hopeful that if we keep pushing, the world that my daughter grows up in will be a fossil-free society and will be a better place for her to live.
But presumably that would mean some major changes to her lifestyle in the years to come.
I've spent a lot of time thinking about what my daughter's life would be like in 2050, say, when she's my age, living in a fossil-free world. And I've come to the conclusion that her life could be much, much better. It's not about sacrifice, actually. Becoming fossil-free has a lot of benefits with respect to health, quality of life, and making more livable communities that would result in a society that's better than the one we're living in today.
Now, Cara, when we first met, it was in Arctic Alaska back in 2008. At that time, you were a young climate ambassador looking into the impacts of climate change on the high north. Can you remember, looking back, what was your impression at that time?
Well, when I went to Alaska, I suppose I knew about things like polar bears and the melting sea ice and that kind of thing. But I hadn't realized at the time that there was this whole community living up in the Arctic that were very dependent on the sea ice for fishing and hunting and basically for surviving. When I went up to Alaska, I met all these people from the Arctic, and they were already experiencing the effects of climate change firsthand, and they were worried about their culture. And it looked like it was a culture that would cease to exist if we didn't act on climate. That was a big shock to me, and when I came back to Ireland, I was even more determined to get action on climate, not only to preserve our ecosystem, but even more importantly, in some ways, to preserve humanity and to preserve these cultures that have been existing in the Arctic for so long.
Now, the Arctic is still warming twice as fast as the Earth's average. And earlier this year, Mark Cornelissen, who led that expedition to Arctic Alaska back in 2008, died with a friend and colleague when they broke through the ice in the Canadian Arctic while taking scientific measurements. Did that affect your attitude to climate change in any way?
Mark's death was a shock to all of us who were part of the Ben & Jerry's Climate Change College. And over the last few months, I've spent a lot of time reflecting on the impact he had on those of us who were involved. I suppose when I think about what Mark did, you know, he was watching the Arctic change very quickly as he was going up there doing expeditions. And he wanted to do something about this to raise attention to the problem. So he came up with this very simple idea of bringing young people to the Arctic to let them witness these impacts firsthand. And now when you look back on that very simple idea, you see that all of those young people who went are now engaged in sustainability and in climate action. So his small idea had enormous impact. That's the piece of Mark that I've tried to take into my own work. You know, I know myself personally, I can't change the world, but I can certainly change the parts of my life that I can influence now and hope that they go on to have bigger impacts. Sometimes I wonder if the fact that he fell through unexpectedly thin ice in the most resilient part of the Arctic, the area that they call the last ice, where the ice should remain beyond any other ice in the Arctic. And I know Mark wouldn't have intentionally put himself under any risk, so I'm sure he was caught off guard by this unexpectedly thin ice and these unusually warm temperatures that they experienced in the last few days there. It's hard to know if climate change was somehow responsible for his death, but it's a heartbreak anyway that someone who was involved so much in climate action and inspired so many people passed away in such a tragic way.